Now, Republican bills in the state legislature would end gender-affirming care for people under 18.
And at the federal level, a lawsuit seeks to block President Trump's executive order that would broadly restrict access to gender-affirming health care for transgender young people. That order is currently on hold as the case moves through courts.
We're joined by Elise Cayley, president of the Washburn-Shawamigan Bay chapter of PFLAG that supports LGBTQ people, and Nora Huppert, a staff attorney at Lambda Legal. The firm is representing the National PFLAG Organization in litigation. It involves transgender youth and their families whose health care would be disrupted by President Trump's executive order. We spoke last week, and Nora starts by explaining what's at stake in this federal case.
So the aspect of those orders that had the most immediate impact was a threat to withhold federal funding from institutions that provide gender-affirming medical care to patients under the age of 19. Clearly, the intended effect of this threat was to coerce medical institutions into canceling appointments. And in the days after the executive order was issued, we did see families across the country facing appointments canceled that they had been looking forward to for years. Chaos just sort of inflicted in the private medical lives and planning of families across the country. And so we filed a challenge to that aspect of the executive order in federal court, and we obtained a temporary restraining order blocking enforcement of that threat.
Elise, I want to turn to you as president of the Washburn-Shawamigan Bay chapter of PFLAG, your chapter not directly involved in this litigation. The lawsuit is involving the national organization. But what impact would President Trump's executive order have on your community in far northern Wisconsin?
Great question. So up here, we actually do have a surprisingly strong LGBT community, and things are really welcoming up here. But we are fairly remote, and most of us get our health care from the same sources. It's going to be very, very hard on people if this is withheld. First of all, every medicine and most of the procedures they're trying to ban for trans people have been accepted for medical use for a long time and are actively being used for non-transgender or, you know, as we say, cisgender patients. If these drugs were actually dangerous, they'd keep cis teenagers from getting Lupron and they'd keep senior citizens from getting HRT. But this is clearly driven by malice against our community. And this has impacts not just on our mental health, because being unable to access things to treat one's gender dysphoria is a very serious drag on one's mental health and emotional well-being, but the risk of violence in our day-to-day lives goes up if we are not able to access this care. I've been in situations before, thankfully never in Ashland or Washburn, but where my safety depended on being able to pass. And we need to be careful that we're not saying that anyone's validity depends on their ability to be seen as their authentic gender, or that that should be the goal of every trans person. But as a practical matter, it often is a big help to our safety. Hmm. For example, if a trans kid is not able to access Lupron or other puberty blockers or delaying methods in conjunction with something their doctor thinks is appropriate, that means they are going to be at much higher risk of being targeted by transphobic or religious motivated violence if they, for example, are going to have to be trying to undo a puberty that's already happened.
Nora, as you hear Elise talk about the ripple effects on mental health, on health outcomes for gender-affirming care restrictions, what comes up for you, especially, you know, as a transgender woman?
Yeah, I mean, I think these executive orders are clearly part of a larger movement that is seeking to target transgender people in virtually every aspect of our public lives. I think there's very clearly, you know, this extremist movement that seeks to divide us and cause us as a larger community to distrust one another, to cast doubt on the needs of our neighbors and our families, and to really institute a culture of chaos and fear and uncertainty on the part of institutions. I think it is having a devastating effect on transgender people across the country. Top of my mind is just how important it is to resist the sort of culture of fear and uncertainty that this sort of extremist anti-trans movement is trying to institute. It is hard to sit with the pain and the anguish that is purposefully being inflicted on families and 18-year-old adults who are seeking gender-affirming care, 18-year-olds who have been looking forward to appointments for years and years, and having that ripped out from them a week before. The most rewarding aspect of doing this work is being able to mitigate that harm, to stop it from happening to more families. Being a part of resisting that culture of fear that I was talking about is one of the most rewarding aspects of the work that I'm able to do.
Nora, are advocates in a position to push back on these proposals, you know, whether that be at the state or the federal level? Are advocates, do they have the ability to influence at the moment?
Absolutely. I mean, I think from a legal perspective, you know, we have seen through this case and others, not just communities of trans people, but also communities of those who care for trans people, who love them. Organizations like PFLAG and organizations like GLAMA, that is organizations composed of medical professionals who provide for transgender people, who care for transgender people. Those actions have really made a difference. And I think we have also seen, you know, groundswells of support from just a popular perspective outside of the realm of litigation. You know, it's so important for us as a larger community, not just, you know, a community of transgender people or a community of families, but as a country, to voice our opposition to, you know, extremist anti-trans programs and movements, and to place our faith in one another and our neighbors, and not let politicians and extreme activists divide us and convince us to doubt each other.
We're talking about a turbulent time for transgender youth in Wisconsin and the nation, with efforts underway to limit gender-affirming health care. Nora Huppert is staff attorney at Lambda Legal. We're also joined by Elise Cayley, president of the Washburn-Shawamigan Bay PFLAG chapter in Wisconsin. Elise, what resources does your chapter offer your region? What support systems are out there that people might not recognize?
Well, the most important thing that our chapter does is provide an LGBT community space. About a year ago, we were able to open an office in downtown Ashland. And in our town, there really aren't any dedicated gay community centers or even gay bars. And it's really important that there's a place where a few times a month, anyone and everyone in the community can come in a family-appropriate space, play some board games. We have barbecues there sometimes. At the third Thursday of every month, we usually have a major educational event there. We were very fortunate to host the Wisconsin LGBT History Project. We also fundraise and offer scholarships for LGBT youth to attend colleges of their choice.
Why is having a common space to gather, to meet, so important?
Because a lot of us grow up thinking that for one reason or another, we are the only one. Because there is no one queer homeland, right? Mm. We crop up everywhere. And the most important thing for us to be able to live fulfilling lives is finding each other, just to be able to build a community of people who go through the same things, who experience some of the same things, people who experience different things and can learn from each other. Everyone, you know, everyone needs to have a place where they can socialize safely. I'm particularly proud that we have sort of a community center model, even if it's only on a part-time basis at the moment, because historically, for a lot of us, the only option was in bar culture. And it's really, really helpful that not only do we have a space for LGBT people, but it's also a sober space.
Thank you for that description. Nora, I want to turn back to the litigation here for a moment. And we're seeing bills that target transgender youth, not only at the federal level, but at the state level here in Wisconsin. Is it difficult for Lambda Legal to know how to approach these challenges and what to take to court?
I mean, I certainly think that there is an attack on all fronts on transgender people today. And we are keeping a close eye on every component of it. And, you know, we will never stop fighting for transgender people, for transgender youth and adults.
Elise, I'm going to give you the final word here. As states like Wisconsin aim to put restrictions on trans people, how is your mental health?
I spent most of yesterday trying to figure out if our insurance was still covering my husband's hormones. Kind of fried after that. For the moment, it looks like they are, but I imagine we'll be having that conversation just about every month for as long as we're both still here. More seriously, it's a pull between wanting to be supportive to people who are really, really struggling right now, but also trying to be aware of how bad it can get. And I know, this isn't the first big campaign against trans supportive healthcare that we've seen. You know, when the Institute for Sexual Science was destroyed in 1933 in Germany, you know, a lot of information was lost, and over the decades, we've clawed back to where we were before that loss, perhaps even a little bit further. And it's hard not to expect the worst, but I am really sustained by how wonderful my community is here. I've made a home here that I wasn't able to find in St. Louis or Beloit or anywhere else. There's still work to do, but I know that at the end of the day, I'm walking down the street here and people talk to me. I might be one of the weird ones in town, but I'm welcome here. I can go fishing with people. I can meet them for a drink. I can talk about cool birds that are hanging out. I can watch the incredible snowstorm we're having right now. And now I know what it feels like to be welcomed, and I'm all the more committed to building a world where everyone can feel like that. I love Ashland and the Shawamigan Bay, and it's a great place for me.
Well, Nora and Elise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, thank you. This was really a great honor. Thank you.
That was Elise Cayley, president of the Washburn Shawamigan Bay PFLAG chapter in Wisconsin. PFLAG is part of the national organization that supports LGBTQ people and their families. And we heard from Nora Huppert, staff attorney at Lambda Legal, part of a court challenge opposing President Trump's executive orders toward transgender patients under 19. We've been talking about a lawsuit filed this month on behalf of families with transgender children who say their health care has already been compromised by the president's orders. And you can be part of this conversation and share your story. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.